Hey guys, this is Zach with Skilled Dad. And you know, one of the things that we are going to face in life is a lot of noise, especially this day and age. You're getting bombarded with messaging, advertising, all sorts of stuff. We're all in that boat together. And you know, I've done 23 episodes and actually have several that have been recorded that I need to get launched out to you. And this is the first one that I've run into audio issues. We had a great conversation, and after the fact, man, there's just a few things that are not as clear as I would expect and hope for. And I even said, well, hey, I wonder if we can go back and re-record this. But I'll tell you what, there's just something that you cannot replicate, and this is one of my favorite conversations that I've had, one of my favorite episodes with somebody that is truly talented and has a great message, and this is just a great conversation. So I'm going to set the table with, I'm going to ask you to cut through the noise on this one. This conversation with Trey Shineman is one worth listening to, and I hope you get a lot of great takeaways as much as I did, and actually sitting down with him and having the talk.
What a rap for us.
What am I rapping?
I don't know. Being a dad. Oh, this is... Yeah.
Being a dad. Oh, gosh. I wish I would have prepared. Not going to be good.
I know. I figured you would have.
Making it up. I should have thought that you were going to have
to. I didn't think about it until we were talking about it just a minute ago. The verse. And I was like, oh, you know what? Let's just see it.
It was in grab it. Let's see what we got with your. Gotta play a part.
Do you want me to drop a beat?
No, you're good.
Okay, good, because I can't.
Welcome to the Skilled Dad Podcast. This is the podcast for dads of all seasons to learn the things that they can do and engage so that they can go and equip the next generation for success. Here we sit down with everyday dads just like you to learn from their story, get inspired, and then start getting after it. So we invite you to join in, see what you can take away from this story, and apply to your life on your journey to becoming the Skilled Dad. Hey guys, welcome to the Skilled Dad Podcast. My name is Zach Priester. I'm your host. And if this is your first time joining us, I want to say thank you for tuning in. If this is your first, second, third, or 24th, welcome back. We're glad to have you.
I mean, I don't know how I feel yet. I didn't know that you've done at least 24 episodes and I haven't been on it yet, but that's okay.
How do you feel that you've done like five and have 28,000 more people that listen to the podcast?
When your list size matters, that was loud, sorry. Your list size matters there, Zachary. Yeah, I'm excited to be here.
Well, that's a great intro. That's one of the best intros of a podcast that I've had. So today, I've got one of my really good friends that over the last several years built a relationship with, had the opportunity to work with. I got to see some of his creative mad genius. He is a meister of, I was curious, like what kind of catchphrases we're going to get out of this. He looks like a wordsmith. He's a really good rapper and one heck of a dad. So this show is about us as men with the commonality that we're dads and what we can learn from each other. But he also, as we just alluded to with his list size, he also recently started a podcast with the organization that you're with.
Yeah.
Called the Kick Ask Podcast.
That's
what if I say that wrong, if I get the E on like
that change cover. Categories, if you say that word wrong, you just put you in a different list on that.
This is no longer a family friendly show because of the kick-ass podcast.
All right.
This is good.
Kids, turn the audio off.
Oh my gosh. But I'm, like I said, I'm excited. We're going to have a lot of fun. And just a little intro about Trey outside of his methods of amazing wordsmithing. Just one heck of a guy. And if you ever get a chance to, I'd recommend you follow him on LinkedIn. You can share your socials at the end here.
Cool.
Whenever. He's also got a lot of great wisdom, a lot of insight, and probably one of the most driven people that I've met. Always come up with a great idea. But here's the cool thing that you don't always see is generating an idea, but then executing on that idea and having some really tangible, awesome results to see on the other end of that work, both from his own work and the teams that he built. So with no further ado, Mr. Trey Shanneman.
Zachary, it's great to be if I could just get a good head of hair like what you have, my life would be complete. But, you know, God and all of this infinite wisdom decided to take that luxury from me a long time ago. But I am pleased as punch, as our Golden Girls friends would say, to be here on the podcast and today talk about being a dad, which is, I just made a pivot. Speaking of LinkedIn, I just made a pivot recently. A friend of mine in Georgia, he changed his headline, you know, that's right underneath his name on LinkedIn. And I just saw it in my feed and I was like, man, you know what, bro, you go, like, good on you. And so I was like, I'm stealing it. You can get mad at me if you want to, but I'm stealing it. And so, you know, I just recently updated my headline to say husband, dad, CMO. And, you know, you used to lead with the other titles first on that 5-4, but that's the order that I want to be known as. I want to be known as a husband. Honestly, I need to put Christ follower, husband, dad, CMO there. So now I'm feeling challenged by the Holy Spirit, but that's where I'm at in my life right now. I just want to define which titles matter most right now in my life. And those are the ones that matter. And I'm stoked to be on the Skilled Dad podcast. Talk about being a dad.
It's a good list of prioritization. It's being a dad. It's the experience that we have in our lives, the journeys we're taking, being a man. Because, you know, when we become dad, I'm not going to get on a sweet rant, but when we become dad, we don't lose all the things that we are as a man.
That's right.
Right. And then the other brotherhood, the friends that we need.
Amen.
Some people maybe don't need that. I haven't met one truly yet. However, like the companionship, the brotherhood, the belonging and the ability to just chat about stuff, fun stuff, joke around, and then real stuff too, you know? So a lot of that happens off the mic, ironically. But you know, I know quite a bit of your story. We've actually done, fun fact, Trey and I, we've done a couple of videos together.
Oh yeah.
He's always got the golden voice and I have lovely locks. So
that's it.
You know, it's a trade off, but, we've recorded a couple of videos. You used them for, you know, I feel like your assistant sometimes because
you feel like my assistant.
No,
that's interesting. That's interesting backstory between the two of us. Can't about assistants, but that's different.
That's true.
We've shared an executive assistant at different times before, not the same time.
Yeah.
And she's amazing. And if she's listening to this, you are awesome.
We won't say your name, but if you're listening, you're awesome. So thank you for all that you did and all that you do. And I should say more like your cameraman, because I think we've done the good cameraman stuff, but we have fun is the point.
Yeah.
And I feel very fortunate to be able to have these fun adventures and journeys that we've gone down, and some challenging ones too. Like in the business environment, you're coming up and trying to figure out problems and build teams and, you know, COVID and all the fun things.
Yeah. We worked in the business together during the pandemic.
Yeah.
You know, other than the travel industry was probably one of the next most affected industries because of COVID rules and distancing and social distancing, quarantine and everything. So you go through the trenches like that together, you know, you have to develop a dependency and a trust with each other for sure.
Yeah. Shared experiences build relationships.
There we go.
So, I'm fortunate enough to know a lot about your story, not just professional successes and cool things you've done, which dive into anything you want to, because I would really encourage anybody listening, like go check out what Trey's putting out there. Cause it's a lot of really, really good stuff. I also know some of the story of you know, as a dad. So I'll just turn it over to you. Take it off wherever you want to go.
Man, I, so when you become a dad, I kind of have this little bit of a story I tell. I grew up, I'm a third. That's where Trey comes from, right? So pre-Trey, get it. That's the first time you've ever heard that most people whose name's Trey is because they're a third. Well, congratulations, you learned something today, especially Amy's babies. I'm a third, right? So I grew up in the shadow of two really incredible men who were incredible for very different reasons. So I had a grandfather who was a serial entrepreneur until the day he died. Even when he died, he had his latest, greatest business plan and invention out in the shed behind his house, and he was trying to figure out how to take it to market. That was just who he was. And then I had a father, still have a father, he's still with us, who grew up in his house. And so he rode the entrepreneurial roller coaster of much of his life. And after a short stint in police work, sheriff's work, he ended up working for the same organization the rest of his career. So he went the other route But both of them, and I love them both dearly, you know, both of them had a different way of dadding, if you know what I'm saying. My grandfather was a very iron-handed kind of dad, and my father did the best he could of, like, because my father was saved, you know, we're Christians. My grandfather, you know, I think some might say he was saved. You know, I hope he was saved. I would say he lived a really hard life, of which my father was on the receiving end of a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so he naturally brought a lot of baggage into our dad-son relationship. And so there was a lot of my early time as a dad where, for some, you know, psychological reasons, who knows, I was trying to always outdo my dad. Like, I'm going to be a better dad than my dad was. And more what I've realized as I've matured into being a dad, learned even more about my own father and his own upbringing, because you become a dad and starts making you ask your dad a lot of questions and stuff we've never talked about before. You know, I've learned that most dads really are doing they're giving it the best shot that they got, right? It's just sometimes you've got to be willing to admit when you're weak in an area and seek out other people around you who maybe didn't go through the same situation that your dad's situation presents. And now I'm saying that because I'm a special needs dad. And so you can't really prepare for what me and my wife ended up going through with our first one. His name's Barry's awesome. And we have another one, our name Charlie, also awesome. But you know, you get thrown into that situation. There isn't anyone else around in your circle that's like, well, been there, done that, don't really know what to do. So, you know, it's just, it forces you to expand your horizons on who the inputs are and the, you know, the people that you go to for help. And we've been to a lot of doctors and a lot of therapists and a lot of other people. And I think some people only get stuck having one or two inputs into their dad bucket, like their own dad. And maybe if they have to get a good father in law, when they marry or something like that, or if they had a really good coach or something growing up, but very few people normally have very few father figures in their life, and some don't have any. Yeah. And so I'm super grateful for the ones that I had. And I'm also grateful that I feel like my personal situation has forced me to actually look elsewhere as well, just to find those situational advice in various situations that maybe the people that lived before me have never experienced before. So how can they advise? So, you know, that's, I'm going to kind of an opening, a little bit of a little backstory. And I, growing up in their shadow, I'm still kind of paving my own way, right? So yeah, I didn't think of it now. You know?
Yeah.
I've got plenty to improve.
Dude, I think, yeah. So I think we're all paving our own way in to that degree, right? And just through the conversations I've had, but the foundational piece, what was interesting that you said is that there's some that they want to go and be like their dad, like exactly. Right. And then there's some that are gonna be like, I'm going to be the opposite. And then of course there's some in the middle that's like, they can see the things they want to do, move on. I actually think maybe it's just part of my own experience that middle ground comes with what you just said.
True.
And, it's just interesting. The father figure, you know, bonus dads, if you will, can be impactful. I've got a bonus dad and had a massive impact on my life. I had a coach. I had a really, really good boss who I still keep in contact with. He's kind of like personal board of directors. But going and seeking that out.
Yeah.
And I think the missing component sometimes is being able to just either know where to go or put down our own whatever pride and say, how do I go? And I'm just going to go and talk to people that have been there before me.
That's right. If you want to get a candy bar, but the vending machine only spits honey buns out, but I don't know why you think you're going to get a candy bar out of it. What I mean by that is, like, your own father is always only and ever will be a product of his own experiences, the people that were in his life, his own development, all those things. And if you find a shortfall, and I don't mean that, I mean that like situation, like a lack of experience in a specific area, like, yeah, they got experience being the dad, but they've dealt with that specific situation before. Out of a biblical respect for your father, you should get their opinion, but that doesn't mean that should be the only opinion that you get. Like, it should be completely okay for you to have other brothers. They could be other dads that are your same age, other people that are older than you, younger than you. It's about making sure that you, situationally, you're just thinking about what's taking in multiple inputs and then using the filter of my own family, our own situation, like what's the best for us? Because like, you know, for us, specifically in my situation, you know, having, he's almost, you know, he's about to be 12, you know, little boy who has had, I mean, if I'm not going to, you know, list out all the things, Bear's just had a challenging life. That's the easiest way to say it. From the second he was born, was in the NICU, we were in the NICU 7.5-8 days, all the way through his early childhood, dealing with, you know, being on the spectrum and having speech and hearing disability and having to see if there's corrective procedures for some of that stuff. Through to he's got, you know, he stims really bad, which is basically like a involuntary muscular response due to stimulus. And he can kind of like lose control of his body. He's whip smart, you know, just like high functioning on the spectrum. You get it in his area of expertise. If it's game over, he's just whip smart. Dealing with that too, in the midst of all of that, me and my wife losing our jobs, being on food stamps, almost going bankrupt. Through to repositioning my entire career and moving from out of education into digital marketing, and digital marketing being what was a lifeline at first, and it's now been a rocket ship for me because I kind of stepped into my calling. I had to go through that, end up stepping into my calling. You play all that out, and yet, you know, here we are, you know, on the outside looking in, the most successful I've ever been, right? Professionally speaking, but I'm still fundamentally a work in progress as a dad. Like my wife and I were just talking the other day. It's like, Jack, I know you understand this. It's like you blink.
Yeah.
And you're in a completely different stage of their development, and it takes at a different side of you altogether. I'll share this story just vulnerably. You know, we found out recently from some friends that there's kind of this saying of like 8 might be too late. The idea to like start to have the birds and bees conversation with the kids, but with Bear, developmentally, in some ways he's super advanced, but in some ways he still feels a little behind. Like he's 12 years old and like wants to play with dinosaurs and trains because he's like, he doesn't want to play with the figurines. Like he can tell you about how the engines work, or he can tell you about how many teeth this specific dinosaur has. Like that's the way his brain works, but he still wants to talk about dinosaurs and trains. He's not interested in girls. And in any ways, like because of some relationships he had in school this year, like the girl thing started to come up and we had to explore that stuff and have those conversations. The other day I walked in on him, he's getting dressed, and he's like, Dad, I got whiskers. And I was like, oh, okay, buddy, you know, like, well, that's part of it, you know. So he's like, I didn't expect when I woke up that morning, today's gonna be the day to have the conversation with my son about whisker development. And I'm not gonna talk to you about the whiskers we were talking about.
Right.
But you know, it's just one of those things, like, and I walk back out, I'm just looking at my wife, she's in the living room, she's looking at me, she's like, I'm like, yeah. She's like, do I want to know? I'm like, no, I got this one, Mom. I'm like, you've done a good job. Like, I got this one. I'll take care of it. So, you know, I think that's probably of the thing that I look forward to and regret the most about being a dad, man, is, you know, there's only so many milestones with your kids that you get across off the deck.
Yeah.
And once you hit that one, like, you're not getting that one back again. It's a big decision. One of the big reasons why I just made the job change that I did, because I'm like looking at my kids and we were in an office, 50, about 60 hours a week, working all the time. You feel like you show up at home and they grew up at night. It's like 2.5 hours a day when you're awake. That ain't going to work for me. Like it was a big part of my decision of being like to have breakfast with me. Because Bear's homeschooled and being able to have lunch with them a couple of times a week, just sit down and say, what are you studying today, buddy? Can I help you? That kind of thing. So, because I just don't, there's so much of the early, especially the early days of his life, where my wife, if she was here, she would tell me she felt like a single mom, because my only way to cope with the challenges was to work more.
Yeah.
And I've sort of.
That's your outlet.
That was my outlet. Yeah. And that was, and my justification was, well, after, this is how I provide and we need it because of everything that's fallen, which just pushed me into that path even more.
Yeah.
Even to the point where we didn't need it anymore. Then I created a side hustle. And even when I only had to work 40 hours a week in my day job, I was working another 30 hours a week in my side hustle because I had just developed this practice of working. And even now, you and I were just talking before you hit the forward button.
Yeah.
Like I'm just prone to produce. Like if it can be an idol in my life if I'm not careful. And it's one of these things I got to figure out how to balance out, because I do want to be able to have those sweet moments like with my kids.
Yeah.
And look back on this time and not remember crystals or vases that you win for, you know, hidden metrics and goals at work, but incredible experiences that you have with your kid that, you know, when he's going through self-discovery and, you know, he's worried next year about being in middle school and how kids are going to treat him because of his hearing aids or this, you know, his speech delays and, you know, or how, you know, how, what's going on with his sister, because we've had some stuff going on with our youngest right now too. And just watching all that dynamic play out. So man, dad's name for the faint heart, bro. It's full-time job.
And once you're in it, you're in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
In that father figure role you talked about at the beginning, we're a father figure one way or another.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. But we do have the choice as to what type will be. And so I don't know that we've ever talked like about that component. Mm-hmm. That piece was a little bit more recent for you. That's 4.5 years ago is why I made a big change for me too, for that same reason. So I'm totally on track with you, because I actually ended up getting to a place that I was running from with where I had perceived kind of some of my childhood, you know, my dad and stuff, but I actually got there. And so, we made that change. And a lot of what we talked about is not novel ideas. Sometimes we just need a knock against the head to be reminded that once that baby's born, so my youngest son born almost a year ago, so we're about to celebrate his, yay, we made it through 1 year. You're still alive. Birthday. Yeah. But to that point, like when he was born, it was out of the three, the first time that was forefront in my mind that my clock started taking balance with my years of impact, at least at that fundamental foundational level. And if this last year has been totally different for me, I mean, we started this, which has even bolstered me more because it's forefront and I love it. And the conversation had amazing.
You're going to host the dad podcast. You definitely do dad.
Well,
he's better be trying to.
That's why I'm not the skilled dad. We are all on a journey together to become skilled dad, equipping each other through stories, because I don't have it all figured out. And I'm reminded about that every single day. Or if the whiskey cover is amazing, because the moments that were like, in my mind, hey, okay, here's my plan. And I'm going to do this. And we're going to sit here and blah, blah, blah. We're going hunting and we'll talk about these things. And then, you know, he walks in and say, Dad, come this.
Yeah.
Right. So it's.
Yeah. You're just there in that moment. It's like, okay.
You were there. And how we respond.
Yeah.
Well, one thing that I thought about quite a bit over the last several, you know, months, and especially doing some, just kind of hearing some more things. And because you and I have had a working relationship too, and you're in leadership roles, we both have that opportunity to lead other people. It's amazing how I never thought about it this way, but a lot of the same components that we're so focused on to get those trophies, at least for me, stayed at the office. So when I got home, my OKRs, my KPIs, all of the leaderships, not all leadership, but a lot of the leadership skills, almost got siloed to a degree, but they are so stinking transferable and across the board on everything. If we applied it the same way, amazing what we could do.
Yeah, exactly. I've never thought about OKR or my wife right now until you just said something about it. It sounds like I've practiced the bash.
Dude, I started OKRing
your personal
my dadding.
Your dad? Dude, it's so crazy, Zach. I mean, as many StratOps sessions and reporting sessions that we've been in together over the years, and between the ones you've had by yourself, I fancy myself a pretty decently, I dress casually because that's just not comfortable that way. I fancy myself a pretty daggone good leader. I mean, like and I mean by that, I don't mean that in like a boastful way. Like I work at being, like I want to be a good leader. It's important to me. I try and be an empathetic leader, but I don't ever even sacrifice my authority on the altar of empathy. Like I keep those two things in check. I think really well.
Yeah.
I try and serve people really well. I try and be direct when I got to be direct. I think I handle conflict well in the office.
Yeah.
But you know, in fairness to full transparency here, like I've sucked at some of that stuff. At home, it's weird that you said it that way. It's almost like a different part of you.
Yeah.
It's like it cuts off and a different part of you cuts on. And now that I am doing all of my work out of the house, it's an even different kind of environment too. That's why I've really chatted before. You know, we've got kind of like my workspace at the house, and it's almost like you breach that door and a switch goes on.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm a different person now. And it's different because you could be on a Zoom call with 40 people watching and your 6-year-old can walk in and say, I got to go to the bathroom. And you're like, okay, hold on everybody. You know, it's just that work from home life adds in a different dynamic. But man, tell me more about that. What do you, I mean, how have you Are you just setting the quarterly goals for yourself from like a time spent standpoint? Like, how are you doing it?
Yeah. So it was about, I guess it was kind of mid Q1, where rather than, so from the OKR perspective, for those that, that have it,
Measure What Matters.
Yeah. Measure What Matters is a great book, that you can go read for both the business world and, you know, OKRing. You can OKR anything, and OKR stands for objectives and key results. And so when we first went through this exercise, it was drastically painful because words matter and you have to get the same definition of the word, right? But then the objective, when you're so used to doing things, it's like, this is what I'm going to do to make an impact. Like, it's this thing. Your objective is almost the action to take, which is a little bit backwards because we're assuming that's going to work. Mm. So when I flip that and say, what do I really want? What is the thing that I want to achieve? And it's kind of that aspirational piece. Exactly. That I line up and the words that I use, you know, there's another gentleman that we work with, his name's Chip. I won't say his last name because I didn't ask if I could, but he was really good at saying, it kind of drove me nuts. And I told him this, and I'll text him after this and tell him, hey man, but what do we mean by this word? He was like, what do you mean? We hated this word. But you find out it's not same things for everyone. So you get alignment. Here's the word. Here's my vision, my objective that I want to achieve. Okay. What are the things that I'm going to achieve that tell me I've done that, right? The things that I can actually measure and move the needle on. And it's not when you do one of the things. It's like you usually 3 to 5, but 3 is like more ideal, right?
3.
You know? But here's my 3 kind of key results.
Okay, fine.
Key results. And when those 3 things essentially have all been achieved, it's not just one, but those things align up together, I've done that objective, right? I've achieved that. And then you can move to the next thing. So, you know, for me, it is some of what you talked about as far as kind of the check-ins. So like before I just come home, I go in. And so from a key result standpoint, it's like, am I checking in to really like gauge where my wife is? And how often am I doing that on a weekly basis? So that's one of my key results, at least starting out. It's not perfective, right? The other, and really the objective piece is, am I fulfilling the fatherhood piece at home? It's weird if you use the words, right? But am I fulfilling that fatherhood piece at home to where I am present dad?
Oof.
It's about presence because,
and then that's one of those words you have to define, because if my bride was sitting here right now, whether that, if she was sitting here right now, she'd say, oh, you're there, but are you present?
Presence.
Yeah.
Yeah. It has been an organic theme that pops up in almost every single episode. Just naturally, it's a word that comes up in different words sometimes, but it's like, am I there? Meaning, am I with my kids, making eye contact, engaging, my phone is down. I'm not totally distracted. I'm not a jerk because there's so much going on in other areas. Right. That it's distracting me, that, you know, that I'm actually there. So if it's a tall task, it's an aspirational piece and I'm measuring it along. But it just had hit me at one point where I'm like, man, we've learned all these great things. And then somehow there's this compartmentalization that occurs where we sit at, Zach McCann's episode, we talked about this, like how, if you work from home, how can you transition back into the home perspective? And as I thought more through that, you know, I go in the office, and the drive home is kind of my defrag. But at the same time, when I do fully switch out, I find myself throwing the baby out with the bathwater, and some of the skill sets that we use on a day-to-day basis.
You left them where you were too.
Right. It's like, I'm truly in this different dad mode. So I don't know. It's gotten kind of deep into the pool, which I like, but.
Well, babe, I came to record a podcast and Zachary put me through a therapy session over here. I know my wife's, whenever she listens to this back, she'd be like, you know, you taking notes? Yes, I'm taking notes, babe. I understand about being present and not being distracted and all those things. Zach was talking about, it's an area I got to work on. It's hard.
It's hard,
especially like in my line of work.
Yeah.
It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'm internet marketing. Well, it doesn't seem, right?
Yeah.
And so, and even more so in my line of work now, I've got team members on 5 continents. So it literally does the sleep because right. they all work in different time zones.
Yep.
And so that's the biggest boundary thing we're trying to figure out now is like, I made the transition out of a 5-day week office.
Yeah.
To in the closet at the house of Leslie, office is in the closet at the house. But when I walk out the closet, Slack's still on, text is still on, yep. email is still on, and it's, We gotta figure out how to balance it out. It's a real thing we're working through.
It's really, so like the other thing though is really hard. And again, this shouldn't be new, but it's a newer piece for me is that it's a pendulum, right? I mean, we have the dad focus and we want to be at home, husband, dad, friends. And then depending on what you do at work, every role is important at work. Right. So if you're sitting here and you're like, I just do this. I reached out to a guy who reached out to me. I was like, hey, you know, would you ever want to, you have an interesting story. No one wants to hear me. I just am a guy that works from home. My kids are home with me. Blah, blah, blah. I challenged it on it. Right. From an anti-grad perspective, for those that are listening, some would say I'm a freak. My wife, very close people on all the things I've done say I would be closer to the 8. So we're going to go 3 for the anti-grad folks. But there's that balance too of making sure that we're not moving so far away from our work stuff, because sometimes subconsciously that's where we can solve problems without noise. So it's a tough balance. Yeah. I'm just throwing the idea out that how often, and maybe I'm just working to be less lonely and see if I'm lonely one, but how often through the cool things that we've learned at work and all the tools we deploy and all the strat ops and all the daily coaching that we do with people and for the leadership role, how much do we utilize those same tools for a different purpose at home?
Yeah. Not much from my side. I mean, just being frank, I will tell you, like, it's so I fancy myself a pretty good visionary. I'm more of a visionary kind of leader. And it's so funny, like watching my wife right now lead our family in some ways of like, we both have sort of felt like we've been in this plateau, like as a family,
yeah.
like our family. We did it for weeks. My wife's like, you know, we should do a vision.
Yeah, I love vision.
Do a vision board. And then like, you know, I come downstairs, you know, I think it was, and there's a trifle of, you know, science fair. I don't know how to what do you poster board?
Yeah.
We're kind of sitting there. She's like, we're doing the vision. We're doing it. Like, because I've slid comments here and there about expressed dissatisfaction in some areas of our life.
Sure.
Then she's slid comments in here and there about expressed dissatisfaction in her view of our life. Don't get me wrong, we are very fortunate and blessed. Like, God has done us. Has moved through our head, money in the bank, beautiful kids, great life. And at the same time, too, like, we both desire a different kind of life than we even have right now. And that's a super first world problem. And I know that there could be some people listening that don't have that luxury. So it's not lost on me. But at the same time too, like if you want to fundamentally change, like at work, if I'm faced with a problem, I'm going to gather all the inputs and the stuff, all of the data, not my feelings, the data. And then I'm going to look at the data, dig into the data. And then I'm going to say, okay, we've got 4 or 5 options for it. And based on potential impact, this is the testing plan we're going to come up with to iterate ourselves into the better version of what we want to be. I mean, I've probably done that 5,000 times in my last 15. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny that I don't work my family in that way. And maybe we shouldn't, because it can be super institutional.
Right.
But in what you're saying, like bringing up the OKR concept, there is something for the visionary strategic planning thing, like with your life. Because what's way more important, like success at work versus sex at home? And it's, again, speaking to the choir right now, that's so hard for me to separate.
Yeah.
Because to me, for so long, success at work has been success.
Right.
But I will tell you, if my beautiful, lovely bride was sitting here, she would say, work people experience a different trade than home people experience trade. And I know you can understand, especially those of us that are 3s and maybe 3-8, some of them, and like, we can wring ourselves out trying to fit it. Like, and so, you know, my wife would challenge me and say, yeah, but who liking you the most is like the most critical part of this.
Yeah.
which is why I'm getting back to the other part of the conversation. It's husband, dad, you know, like I've got to start, I'm trying to keep a more internal perspective of jobs come and go, opportunities come and go, clients come and go, projects come. If you do it right, family's there the entire time you're on this earth.
Yep.
And so it's, you know, it's, there's a real thing in me right now that I've got, not fully gotten to the bottom of, but I hold my breath and swim the deep and just kind of try to get there with the Lord. Some changes and transitions and then see them with an egg. Because you don't get these years back. My wife says it all the time. The days are long, the years are short.
Yep.
Like we're not going to get these developmental years back for their kids. And you know, before we know, they're going to be off to college and a couple hours away and getting spouses and having their own houses. And it's going to be a fleet. I mean, there's almost 12. He's already halfway to that age, to probably about the age that all that everything I just said is what happened. I mean, mid-20s. And it's like, I feel like I was just, you know, walking behind him in the driveway on his little, his first trike.
Yeah.
Like with him trying to figure it out. And now he's got balance issues, so he can't ride a bicycle, but he's got like a super awesome drift trike that he rides through the neighborhood with the flag on the back, you know, this helmet. And people know it's, here comes Bear, you know, he's drifting around corners and he'll slide that thing and he gets going, you know, it's funny.
I love it.
It just happens so quick.
It does. Yeah. Wow. This one's really turning my wheels. I knew it would. Last thing I'll say on that. So, you know, this thing's morphed over time and we'll continue to iterate more based on what we learned, but the initial tagline, again,
new voice for that.
The initial tagline is this is a resource for dads of all seasons to learn the things and skills that they can do and learn so that they can equip future generation for success.
Ladies,
the question is, what is success?
Yeah.
And with that as our objective, wherever you find yourself in your journey, you've got your two kids, I've got the three, I have more time. I honestly, I didn't waste, but I was not as impactful or effective as I would have liked to my first son's life, right? First 3 years. So I find myself trying to catch up for most.
Yeah.
But if we have that vision of success, however we define it, and we have today, and every second is spent like money that we can't get back. If we know that definition, then we can start working backwards to do the things for the next 18 years or so to line up those key results, those milestones.
Yeah.
So
if, I think it's one of those things like, I could see how you could end up over planning a little bit if you take that to the fullest extent, which is not what the client you're saying, just running it out of the head.
Totally could.
Yeah. But, I do think there is something to be said of saying these are the experiences and memories of the actively creating.
Yeah.
And making sure that you're living up to whatever those might be in your definition of success. You know, when I think about my relationship with the father, the capital F father, you know, if you want to see what's in his hand, you got to be close. You got to be close to him. Like, if you want to be able to see the provision, you got to be close to him. And I always want, I think the biggest thing that I've struggled with is making sure that my kids see my hands as something helpful instead of something painful.
Mm.
And I think for me, like continuing to live, moving forward, that definition of helpful and not painful kind of moves from your hands and moves more to your words, like as they get to the age where your words carry so much more weight, like you got to be so careful. Your tone, which is probably the bigger thing I struggle with more than the words I say, is how I say them.
Right there,
you know, and so it's just one of those things like, you know, he's still working on me, that old song, he's still working on me too. And your kids become a mirror, other than your spouse, is the greatest mirror in your life of life where you're still coming up short and you gotta get better. But man, it's so worth it. Like it's being able to create good humans and good citizens and people that are going to be world changers and, you know, impact other people. Carry your legacy along. Like, man, what valiant work being a dad is like so worth doing. It's freaking hard, which is why we have such a dad issue kind of in the world, because it is hard. And some of it is systemic and not set up well. But for those of us that have the opportunity to be a great dad, then we should cherish it every single day, even when our kids are hard to love.
Yeah.
Because we were hard to love at times too. We still are, you know.
If you're married, ask your wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, 100, like that's, I'm with you 100%. And for those that are at this point within the podcast, the fact that you're listening, A, to the podcast, and B, this far into it, you're one of those people that wants to. I'm making an assumption, generalized statement, but you're one of those people. And the impact that you are making and can make with other guys you talk to just about stuff like this can have bigger dividends than you might anticipate.
Sure.
That I can say firsthand over this last year. But okay, last piece. You are a man well-versed in many... Well, that'll...
Well-versed. That can be a good MC name.
Well-versed. We're going to do that at the end. That will be the last piece. But before that, you know, one of the things I loved about the place that we work together and we're able to share is the intentionality around leadership and the things that we read and just constant reinforcement of continuously getting better. But especially around those materials and like books, and you are a well-read man.
Mm-hmm. I try to be at least. I mean,
if you aren't, you bake it really well.
Yeah. I've not read as much in the last year, but there for a while, I love great business. I used to, like during the agency days, I had a 30-minute block on my calendar at work every day to read.
Yeah.
Every day.
It's killer, man. Leaders are readers. Mm-hmm. But because of that fact, then you've worked for some that have been in that leadership space.
Worked for some.
For several. Yeah.
Yeah.
You've, a couple. You've done well with that. What? Have you read anything in the dad space? I'll ask that. Mm-hmm. And I'm not putting you on the spot, but I'm
reading something in the dad space right now that's sort of tangentially into the dad space.
Yeah.
It's in the man space, but one of the areas it talks to you about is your role as father. It's called Man in the City.
That's so good. Who writes it?
John. I'm terrible with all their names. That's John Mark Herzmer or something.
I will look it up and I will put it in the show notes.
Yeah. Anyways, Garden City. Yeah. And it's this concept of what our role as men and dad and husbands and all that stuff really about the established role of the whole subdue the earth and multiply. That is Old Testament. Give it down like the original mandate, mm-hmm. you know, and it's this idea of balancing work and rest in every one of the roles that you have and how family and kids and resting well with your family is one of the most God honoring things you can do in your life.
Nothing.
And having super intentionality about rest for rest's sake, which is something I've struggled with.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really, really, again, it's a different kind of take on dad. And then I think my favorite kind of book, it just taps into the fatherhood concept as well. That's kind of school, but it's one I think every dad should.
John Eldridge, and for those that don't know.
Eldridge, yeah. Garden City, I'll check it out.
All right. That's good. So from the non-dad book space, because per the previous conversation, there's a lot of really cool ideas that I think when applied, they're relevant to other spaces. How about a business or leadership book that you recommend that you also think would tie well into some of the things you learned that you can apply? I've got one in my head, but the ones you just.
I want to pick a good one. I read some really books in Alaska. Trans. I would say probably It's 5 Levels of Leadership by John Maxwell. He's written out in some books, literally. That book has good transferable principles to me to being a dad. And it's the concept of the worst kind of leaders are positional leaders, meaning people just, you were given a title, so you became a leader. That's positional leadership.
Yeah.
And he works through this framework of like moving from position of leadership to pinnacle leadership, which is like you lead other leaders and they can't wait for you to be their leader kind of leadership. It's permission based. Like they want you to lead them. And I think about being a dad, like a lot of people become dads because somebody had a baby.
Mm-hmm.
They become fathers because somebody had a baby. It's positional, right? So I think there's a lot of transferable stuff there. And it's just a great book about how you can measure the impact that you're having as a leader based on what others say about you, not about what you say about you. So that's
a good call. I like that a lot. I'm curious your thoughts on these two. One that's could be a little more tactical, practical. Atomic Habits.
Great. Those are probably the best book I've ever. James Clear. So it's probably the best book I've ever. Well, and I guess, you know, in a correlation way, almost even causation way, for those of my friends that are nerds on statistical significance and things.
this is a great episode. I love it.
It's, you know, back to the OKR, John Doerr, Measure What Matters reference from earlier. I mean, James in that book, he's got this concept of want to lose 50 pounds. Well, then just set a habit of that to say, well, I'm just going to be the kind of guy who sweats for 30 minutes every day. Mm-hmm. And if you sweat for enough 30 minutes every day, eventually, you know, you'll get to where you want to be physically. And I love he's great at reframing. Create daily discipline based on the outcome you're trying to drive, not because of the discipline that you're trying to have.
Yeah.
And it's really good. Atomic Habits is good. Great book.
It's, I like the kind of one, I call it the 1 degree delta of where 1 degree better each time as you go. So you're going to eventually get greater 60 degrees different, but you're also not choking on that elephant. It's one bite at a time. V lays it out really well. It can be applied in lots of places. The second one is ideal team player.
That was going to be the
Patrick Lencioni.
I was going to say,
because that goes in both.
Yes.
And I've thought about that as far as the definition of success, right? Hungry, humble, smart, applying to myself at home. How am I doing? And because, you know, said your wife said at work, they get one version and home, we get another. And I heard that come my way one time or several times. And so I kind of took it in. I was like, you know, the hungry, humble, smart piece. I haven't applied here, but I'm going to apply it. How am I scoring?
I'm not sure there had been the versions of my house that have to be a first circle, fourth circle that says lazy. We're working. I'm just kidding. That's one of the, it was just in the footer. He's in the footnotes.
Yeah.
No, I think that's great. I think it's a brilliant book. And it's the concept of like the Venn diagram approach of like what's in the happy middle.
Yeah.
Of where these things all come together. That's the ideal player in the book. And it's like, what is the, you know, ideal father figure kind of an idea look like in your dynamic in your household? Because right. Everyone's married to a different type of personality in their spouse, right? They have their kids have different personalities. So there's not a ubiquitous framework you can just layer at the top that's going to work from everybody.
Yeah.
But the idea and concept of having some sort of a standard that you're at least trying to work towards and set for yourself that's agreed upon so that everybody can get on board. I think that's great. I think every one of those books should be read by people that are listening. They're all good.
There we go. I will list them out. And it's interesting because when you're in the environment that I talked about before, where you're in an environment that's really promoting the leadership, the books, the constant learning, you know, leaders or readers perspective, and then you get in other environments, I found myself kind of assuming, you've read this, huh? Right. And so it's actually a cool opportunity to expose some great reads to people and then see the fruits of it. And just with the business, how it can transform, but also just with friends and life. All right. We'll wrap for us.
What am I wrapping?
I don't know. Being a dad. Oh,
being a dad. Oh gosh. I wish I would have prepared. That would be good.
I know. I figured you would have.
Making it up. I should have thought that you were going to have to do this.
I didn't think about it until we were talking about it just a minute ago. The verse. And I was like, oh, you know what? Let's just see it. It was in grab it.
Kind of this is the see what we got with your, gotta play it first.
Do you want me to drop a beat?
No, you're good.
Okay, good, because I can't.
This is because you gotta play it part. Chase the father's heart. Just need to take a step. He just wants you to start. Little baby steps, Atomic Habits, if you would. James Clear with the pen. Get it if you could. Every day set a goal. Chase it till it's gone. Set the line in the sand. Listen to the song. Take your wife by the hand. Live the day so long. If you're dreaming, keep it going. You can never can go. Staying right in the light. Be a dad that's worth it. Take your kids on towards their dreams. Know that they deserve it. Pushing hard towards that mark. Set up as a standard. Man, if you can do this, be a dad. You're going to be a male and something. I can't figure out something. But anyways, that was all just made for us.
Right there, baby. insert audience. Right now. That's good. on the spot. I love it. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Any final encouragements coming to you that maybe you have for somebody else? We'll wrap this bad boy up.
Be encouraged, dads. Just be encouraged. There's being a great dad, putting in the work, it's worth it. Like, it's worth for the generational change that you can cause in your household, your family, you know, in your family line. Be encouraged, because there's so much in the world right now that wants to discourage or to take courage from us. So let's be brave. Man. This is going to enter into a season. My first little thing, we're going to enter into a season where our kids, if they need us now more than they'd ever needed us, there are a lot of ulterior perspectives at play in the world right now that want the hearts of our kids. That's just the truth. And so our role is more prevalent now. We got to stick to our guns, all the more, hold our ground. So just be encouraged is what I would say. Is I'm got dads figuring it out every day. Got two beautiful kids I'm grateful for. Beautiful wife that I definitely outkick my coverage. And so, you know, stay encouraged, stay thankful, and just take it one day at a time. You know, just take it one day at a time. Be a better dad tomorrow or today. And if you mess up, I'm gonna adjust you kids. Like, get down here. They need to see that more than he. So asking for forgiveness, it's a powerful effort within something. I was gonna say, and it, I almost said aphrodisiac, which would have been completely the wrong word.
Yes,
for the wordsmith. So, you know, it's a powerful headache, does like forgiveness is a powerful hand.
Love it, dude. Thank you.
Okay, bro.
Where can people find you?
I'm probably the only Trey Shinneman on LinkedIn. I gotta be. I mean, I don't think there's anyone else there. That's pretty much the only place I'm in.
Yep.
You can always see. Trey at AskMethod.com. I'm going to be on my cell phone. But LinkedIn or hit me up on email. Got any questions? If you want any advice, I always try and give advice from things I've experienced. Nothing more, nothing less. So if you're out there, you're a special needs dad, you're a newly special needs dad, you're trying to figure that out, you got a child on the spectrum or with health, you know, health issues, you want somebody to pray for you, encourage you, share experiences, I'm your guy. I'm happy to talk about it.
Game on, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on with me. I
appreciate it, buddy.
Guys, you made it this far. I want to say thanks for sticking with us, having some fun with Trey and I. We went to the deep end and had some fun. We got some good books for you to read. I'll put them in the show notes. But hey, you want to learn more, you can go to skilleddad.com. Follow us on the different socials at skilleddad. But as usual, if this episode kind of rings a bell for someone you know, we'd love for you to share it with them. But we hope that you can take something from Trey's story, from this conversation, and apply it to your life on your journey to becoming a skilled dad.